world. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were made to live forever. Ephesians 1:10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on the earth. And our life here is preparation for eternity. I have a lot of scriptures to share with you today. I think it might be a world record. So our media person up there, Michelle, you're going to earn all your salary, your big, huge salary that you get. Thank you for your work up there. Really appreciate it. We have a problem, and our problem is sin has broken our relationship with God that he made us for and intended. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So that is a big problem. But God has done something about it. He took the initiative in sending his son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to give true life to people. So Jesus' mission must matter to me because I'm to be like him. So if the lost, people outside of a saving relationship with Christ, matter to him, they must matter to me too. John 17:18 says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We're to go into the world and share the good news of the gospel of Christ. In fact, it's a command. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. John 20:21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. So going and sharing my faith with others is my responsibility. Ezekiel 3:18. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. And I remember reading that verse as a brand new Christian, and it really struck me. Just the awesome responsibility that I, as a human being who know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, have toward others. This isn't optional. It's a command. But it's also a privilege. 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I've been given a ministry by God to reach out to others with the love of Christ. And you know what? I want to do it. God's been so good to me. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that. You were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where I was some 40 some years ago, lost, hopeless, helpless. But God saved me by his grace. The people that we may see every day out there in the world are also just as hopeless without Christ. He is the only way of salvation. I don't have these scriptures on the overhead, but John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12 tells us that there's no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved. How will they know unless we Christians tell them? Romans 10:13-14. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? God wants to send us to preach, to share this good news with people so that they can believe because God wants them to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And I'll be rewarded for my sharing. I believe that main reward will be there will be people in heaven because you were faithful to share. Luke 15:7 says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. 1 Peter 2:9 in the Living Bible reads, but you are not like that, for you have been chosen by God Himself. You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So I'm doing a series on evangelism. And today I want to talk about sharing our faith, which is developing a mindset that I'm always alert and watching and looking for opportunities to share this good news in word and deed. Now, let's say a situation arises. A person is before you. They're sharing their heart with you. It's a golden opportunity to share Christ with them. But what do I say? That's what I want to talk about next. I need to share my story with them. That's called your testimony. Listen to these three verses. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what He has done for my soul. John 4:39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. A testimony in a court of law is merely, you're not an expert on everything. You just share what you've seen and heard. In Acts 22 through 26, Paul, on six occasions, shares his story of how he came to know Christ with unbelievers. Your personal testimony is a powerful tool for sharing the gospel. It's unique. There's no story quite like it. It's your personal story, so it's easy for others to understand. You're the authority on it, right? It's your story, so that makes it very authentic. It's hard to argue with it because, again, it's your experience that you've had. And people love stories, and they remember them. They can relate to them. And your life story will build a relational bridge between them and you. In our postmodern world, people are very skeptical of truth. They're skeptical of religion and church, but they're open to life experiences such as yours. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So if you became a Christian as a teenager or an adult, such as me, I was 19, there are four parts to your testimony. The first part is what my life was like before I met Christ. What was my life like before Christ? Those are my before Christ, my BC days. What circumstances in your life would an unbeliever identify with? What attitudes and ways of thinking that were sinful in your life would an unbeliever identify with? What were you living for in the past? What was most important to you? What were your substitutes for God, your idols? Was it sports or fitness or success at work or money or sex or marriage or drugs or popularity or a host of other things that we can put before God. Second, how I realized I needed Christ. What significant steps led to your conversion? What needs, hurts, or problems were in your life that made you very dissatisfied and you thought there must be more than this? How did God get your attention? What did He do to motivate you to reach out toward Him? Because He was always there wooing and drawing you, but you probably ignored it. But then something was going on in your life that made you feel, I need Christ, and you begin to move toward Him. Thirdly, how I committed my life to Christ. What did you do specifically? And where did it happen? Was it at a church service? Was it at a friend's house who was sharing with you in your bedroom alone? Did you say a prayer? What did you pray? That's all part of your testimony that you share with a person. And the fourth thing is the difference Christ has made in my life. What benefits did you experience or you felt? Did you feel now, I have renewed purpose for living? I had joy I never had before. I made new friends. Were there problems that got better because of your faith in Christ? How has Jesus helped you to be a better person? I would say spend the least amount of time on number one, the BC days, and most on number four, the difference He's made in your life. Now, if you became a Christian as a child, but walked away or never grew until you were adult, use the same four steps, but start with a time just prior to your recommitment. If you became a Christian at a very young age, as a child, let's say, and you've never really strayed from the Lord, you've always walked with Him, you still have a story to tell. You could share of a major problem in your life or just something that was really hard that you had to overcome and how Christ has helped you. Let me offer some practical suggestions for putting this testimony together. First of all, pray about it. Ask God to give you the right words and then write it out. I would say write out your testimony. Keep it short. Be succinct. Don't add a lot of unnecessary details. Refer to an experience that most people would have in common with you. What's your life story like that others would be able to relate to? And share a story that they'd be able to relate to. Be honest with your continuing struggles. You are not perfect, so don't pretend to be. And don't exaggerate or brag about your pre-conversion sins. I've heard a lot of testimony, and that's what it sounds like to me, bragging about how bad they were. Think about it. What is there to be proud about from your life of sin? Don't put them down or their religion or their church if they have one. Just talk about the specific experiences and changes that have happened in your life. And the more specific you can be, the more dynamic your testimony will be. I would encourage you to speak it over, like practice it so it's natural. Maybe let a friend look at your testimony that you've written out and make suggestions. The person that you're talking to, you don't want to talk down to them. You don't want to sound preachy to them. Now, you can lead into your story by listening to that other person, listening to what's going on in their life. Maybe they share a hurt or a struggle with you. Then that can be a cue to you that I can share how Christ has helped me by knowing Him. Maybe it's somebody at work and they're sharing a news story with you and they seem concerned about it. You could share how Christ has given you peace, even though you're also concerned about those things. Maybe you can realize, you know what, I have this friend I've never shared Christ with him before, never shared the gospel. You could apologize to them and say, you know what? I've neglected to tell you the most important thing in my life. Can I share Christ with you? So that's sharing your story. But there's another part of your testimony is sharing God's story, sharing the good news. how we're saved, forgiven, and begin a personal relationship with God through Christ. We've seen from the scriptures before that we all are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ, whether we have the gift of evangelism or not. I want to share a few talking points with you, theological points that you can use in kind of weaving together in your story. The first is, God became a man so I could relate to him. God became a man so I could relate to him. That's different from any other religion in the world. Romans 1, 3 through 4, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God. So there you have the incarnation in the flesh and the Son of God. He's God. According to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here's a second theological point to bring in. Jesus died for my sins, so I don't have to. Jesus died for my sins, so I don't have to. 1 Corinthians 15, 2-4. And by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's the heart of the gospel, the meat of the gospel right there. Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. Different from any other religion in the world. Thirdly, Jesus destroyed death so that I could experience eternal life. Jesus destroyed death that I could experience eternal life. 2 Timothy 1:10. And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The fourth thing I would want to share in weaving this into my story is salvation is a free gift, so you don't have to earn it. Salvation is a free gift. You don't have to earn it. Romans 3, 24 and 5. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. You could also add Ephesians 2, 9, which says that we are saved by grace, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And fifthly, salvation is received by faith, so all I need to do is repent and believe. Repent and believe. Mark 1, 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Now, you'll have your own style and way of sharing. Be yourself. Don't try to be Billy Graham. The world needs to hear left brain types and right brain types, experienced people and facts people. God can use every one of us in sharing our story. Some of you, I know, will be more comfortable in serving. That's your way of sharing. By my good deeds and acts towards others. Yes, by all means, do that. But also, you got to share the gospel with them so they can know how to be saved. Use words they can understand. We Christians get so used to using Christian lingo that other people maybe don't know what those words mean. So speak simply and clearly. Don't push it on them or be obnoxious. Remember, Peter said gentle. Talk to them and listen to them. You're trying to find out what their world is like so you can relate to them. It's not about condemning them. It's about having compassion on their mess because you care for them and you want them to be saved. So I hope you've been praying about who's my one? Who is the person that God has put on my heart that I can pray for daily and that I can share as I have opportunity? I'm going to ask us now if you would close your eyes. bow your heads. And just want to give an opportunity right here this morning. Maybe there's someone sitting here that you've never asked Jesus Christ to come and be the Savior of your life. You've heard about God. You've tried to be a good person. But you would say, I don't know if I've ever really committed my life to Christ. If you're here today and you're ready to make that commitment, just slip up your hand. As the praise team comes, they're going to play a final song. But if there's anyone here that needs to do this today, receive Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate that. Lord, I pray for that hand was raised today, and you know that heart. That your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us all our iniquity and cleanse us from all sinful behavior. You're faithful to do that, and you will do that. I pray as we confess our sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need Jesus Christ. I tried it on my own. It doesn't work. There's an emptiness inside of me, a void that only you can fill. Lord, I pray right now you would come and fill that heart as you fill all of our hearts again with your love and grace. But fill that heart, Lord. Become the Savior and Lord of that person's heart. And that's where it begins. And that's where everything changes. So, Lord, I pray that you'll walk with this person throughout their life together. Lord, we thank you for this message. It's such good news. And I think we get so fearful and intimidated, we psych ourselves out. But I know that there's lots of people out there, Lord, that are hurting. And they're longing for peace within. And they know there must be more to life than just what's here in front of us. And they're open. Help us to find those people. Lead us to them in our individual spheres of influence that people might get saved. That is your heart, Lord. That people will be in relationship with you and you'll bless them so much. Thank you for our time today to be together to worship you. We pray that we're all been strengthened by our common bond and fellowship and unity. And we pray that you'll send us out with this good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.